Well, it has been a wonderful thing today to be in the house of the Lord all day. And I really appreciate that we have this opportunity. We've been doing more of this. We have more activities. We're together more. And Sundays are getting really wonderful to be able to spend the whole day and have fellowship together. And do more things that bring us close to God. Tonight, I'm really privileged to be able to introduce the speaker, a precious person to me in many ways. Margaret and I used to call him our adopted son. He was coming over and studying with her for the CPA exam. And when the studying was done, we spent just as much time, if not more, discussing and studying the scriptures, and he really found a place in our hearts. He and I have something else which brings us close together, in that the Lord used me to call him into the ministry, and I'm certainly glad to be able to introduce him to you as a speaker tonight, Darren Kroll.
I'd like to welcome everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Quiero dar bienvenidos a todos en el nombre de nuestro Señor y Salvador Jesucristo. I'm so thankful to be back here for my kids, but for me. Haven't found a full-time job yet, but I know God's going to provide. He always has. And I appreciate your prayers. I guess I could stand up here all night and give thanks to each of you for the many blessings that you've been. The prayer chains, the prayers that come from people, the example that comes from brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for you all. And being back has been a real blessing to us. I didn't plan to start out this way, but it overwhelmed me. So I wanted to thank especially God, because he's the one, the source of it all. But thank you all for being obedient. In our Sunday school class, we've been reading through the Book of Mormon. And Sean got up this morning and gave a testimony of just a little bit of what we've been studying. And we've been studying the first book of Nephi, chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 232. A week ago, we were reading these verses, and Randy brought up the point that, or asked us the question, how can we put at naught our God? Well, I think he mentioned this in our Wednesday night service. And I'm going to start verse 232. Voy a empezar en el, yo creo que es el, la página 69, algo así. El capítulo 5 del primer libro de Nefi, para que pueden leer, versículo 232. For the things which some men esteem to be of great worth, both to the body and soul, others set at naught and trample under their feet. Yea, even the very God of Israel do men trample under their feet. I say trample under their feet, but I would speak in other words. they do set him at naught, and hearken not to the voice of his counsels. And behold, he cometh according to the words of the angel in 600 years from the time my father left Jerusalem. I want to go back to that verse 235. They do set him at naught and hearken not to the voice of his counsels. And so Randy asked us in class, how do we do that in our own individual lives? And some of us came up with some examples. And I didn't ask Bonnie if I could. Bonnie gave a wonderful testimony. And it was full of humility to give it to us, because, and it set off thoughts in my own mind, how I've set God at naught. But she gave a testimony that I don't even remember the name. Could you give the testimony, Bonnie? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to stand up. It happened several years, quite a few years ago, actually. We've been at piano lessons at Manon.
Could you turn around?
Okay. Piano lessons at Manon. And as was the custom, then Nancy from Rome still at home, so I don't know how long ago it was. And we had supper with Mom and Dad. Wednesday night. And I had just found out that day that their neighbor, Mark Millett, was an ironworker. I don't know if you know what ironworkers are, but they work on big buildings, whatever. And we watched him come home and greet his family and everything. I'm assuming you might have already heard this. But watched him come home and greet his family, and this thought ran through my mind: you need to go over there and tell him to be careful. And I thought, now that's the stupidest thing. Why would I tell somebody who knows when he's up 100 stories or whatever it is to be careful? Because he already knows that. But so I talked myself out of it. Just plain talked myself out of it. 2 days later, there was an accident at the AT&T building. The bucket fell. 2 men were killed. Mark Millett was one of them. And it kind of like, that is why I was told to go over there. I don't know whether I would have done anything. Me, I have no idea. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And so that's what he's talking about.
And the reason I give this testimony as an example is because it was a powerful testimony to me. But how many times do we not listen to the counsel of God when he tells us to warn someone else about something spiritually? Something in, and we don't go to them. In Bonnie's case, the man physically died. But if we don't heed the counsel of God, and he tells us to witness somebody, they could die spiritually. And that's what hit me when Bonnie gave that testimony. God guides us with his still small voice, the Holy Spirit tells us what to do. And we have the ability to accept or reject, to live being obedient or to set God at naught. And continuing in verse 236, and behold, he cometh according to the words of the angel in 600 years from the time my father left Jerusalem. The angel that is spoken of here is the angel that addressed Lehi in his dream, and the angel that addressed Nephi in his vision when he asked to see the same things his father saw. And the world, because of their iniquity, and I'm going to be so bold as to ask if somebody could get me some Kleenex. I forgot to go before. And thank you. And the world, because of their iniquity, shall judge him to be a thing of naught. Wherefore they scourge him, and he suffereth it. And they smite him, and he suffereth it. And they spit upon him. And this is exactly what Sean was talking about this morning. And they spit upon him, and he suffereth it, because of his loving kindness and his long suffering towards the children of men. And the God of our fathers, which were led out of Egypt, out of bondage, and also were preserved in the wilderness by him, yea, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and the God of Jacob, yieldeth himself according to the words of the angel as a man into the hands of wicked men, to be lifted up according to the words of Zenoch, and to be crucified according to the words of Nahum, and to be buried in a sepulcher according to the words of Zenos, which he spake concerning the 3 days of darkness, which should be a sign given of his death unto them who should inhabit the isles of the sea. Of course, those that inhabited the isles of the sea are the house of Israel. More especially given unto them which are of the house of Israel. We'll come back to this later on, but right now I want to go to the book of Acts. Chapter 11. Vamos a leer en el libro de Hechos, capítulo 11. We're going to begin in the first verse. Vamos a empezar en el primer versículo. This is going to be a totally different subject, but stay with me. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So the apostles and brethren of the church were gathered in Judea. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. So in other words, first I want to go back a little bit. The apostles and brethren were contending with Peter that he had given the gospel or preached the gospel, baptized those who were Gentiles. And so he's explaining to them why. Remember that Jesus said he came only to the house of Israel. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to pass. It came even to me, upon which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he shewed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as on us at the beginning, referring to when in the second book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost had fallen on them and the many thousands that were there at the day of Pentecost. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, came to the Gentiles. Praise be to God, because I'm one happy Gentile. Glenn, do you remember the verse of the woman from Canaan?
Matthew 15, verse 24. Okay. Probably starts a little earlier than that.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Vamos a ir al libro de Mateo, capítulo 15, versículo 22. And behold, Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, O thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. And she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who Christ was sent to. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was the Gentile that we should be. Full of humility and faith, realizing that we're nothing before God. We deserve nothing, yet through His infinite grace and mercy has offered up His Son for us, and He expects something in return. Let's turn now to the second book of Nephi, chapter 5. Yeah. verse, beginning in verse 30. And blessed are the vamos a ver al libro de Mormón, el segundo libro de Nefi, capítulo 5, empezando en versículo 30. Second book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 30. And blessed are the Gentiles, they of whom the prophet hath written, for behold, if it so be that they repent and fight not against Zion, and do not unite themselves to that great and abominable church, they shall be saved. For the Lord God will fulfill his covenants, which he hath made unto his children. For this cause the prophet hath written these things. Wherefore, they that fight against Zion, and the covenant people of the Lord shall lick up the dust of their feet. And the people of the Lord shall not be ashamed. For the people of the Lord are they which wait for him, for they still wait for the coming of the Messiah. When I was in Africa, I had a lot of my faults pointed out to me by my boss, and which was very good for me. I needed it. But it was very difficult to take, and I missed my family. And it was just trial after trial. And I asked for prayers over the internet, and I know I received them because God truly blessed me. But one thing that was pointed out to me was to wait on God. Not to try out and run. A temptation of mine has been to try to run before God. And receive a little and run with it. And run with my own ideas of what I think God is doing. Rather than wait as he gives me step by step what he wants me to do. And so I'm trying to learn to wait on each step he gives me. But here it also says, for they still wait for the coming of the Messiah. And of course this was before the first coming. But we know that there will be a second coming. And we should be waiting and praying and hoping, if we're there that day, that we're a part of his work. And behold, continuing in 36, and behold, according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah will set himself again the second time to recover them. Wherefore he will manifest himself unto them in power and great glory unto the destruction of their enemies when that day cometh, when they shall believe in him. And none will he destroy that believe in him. That's a promise. Every statement we read in here, we need to take as a promise. Like Sean said today, this book is filled with promises, and they will come true, like he said. And none will he destroy that believe in him, and they that believe not in him shall be destroyed, both by fire and by tempest and by earthquakes and by bloodsheds and by pestilence and by famine. And they shall know that the Lord is God, the Holy One of Israel. That verse reminds me of my brother-in-law, J. Paul, who always says, God is not only a God of love, but a God of justice. And that is true. For shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. By the way, this scripture is also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, the last three verses. For the mighty God shall deliver... Let me read that verse over. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For the mighty God shall deliver his covenant people. And in a couple of places in the Book of Mormon and in the Bible, it says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The gospel of Christ came first unto the house of Israel, then went to the Gentiles. And then now it goes from the Gentiles to the house of Israel. So as it says here, the mighty God shall deliver his covenant people. Verse 43, for thus saith the Lord, I will contend with them that contendeth with thee, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I the Lord am the Savior and the Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Yea, for thus saith the Lord, have I put thee away, or have I cast thee off forever? For thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? To whom have I put thee away, or to which of my creditors have I sold you? Yea, to whom have I sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called, yea, there was none to answer. When Christ came, the house of Israel, at least the Jews, turned a deaf ear. Let's turn to the 2 Nephi, chapter 7. Beginning in the first verse. Vamos a volver ahora al segundo libro de Nefi, capítulo 7, versículo 1. And now I, Jacob, speak unto you again, my beloved brethren, concerning this righteous branch of which I have spoken. For behold, the promises which we have obtained are promises unto us according to the flesh. Wherefore, as it hath been shown unto me that many of our children shall perish in the flesh because of unbelief, nevertheless, God will be merciful unto many, and our children shall be restored, and that they may come to that which will give them the true knowledge of their Redeemer. Wherefore, as I said unto you, it must needs be expedient that Christ, for in the last night the angel spake unto me that this should be his name. What I read to you before, he spoke to them, and then they all went home, and then the next day he came back and spoke to them again. So during that night, an angel spoke to him and told him that the Messiah's name would be Christ. Wherefore, as I said unto you, it must needs be expedient that Christ, for in the last night the angel spake unto me that this should be his name, should come among the Jews, among they which are the more wicked part of the world, and they shall crucify him. For it behooveth our God that there is none other nation on earth that would crucify their God. For should the mighty miracles be wrought among other nations, they would repent and know that he be their God. But because of priestcrafts and iniquities, they at Jerusalem will stiffen their necks against him, that he be crucified. Wherefore, because of their iniquities, destructions, famines, pestilences, and bloodsheds shall come upon them. And they which shall not be destroyed shall be scattered among all nations. But behold, thus saith the Lord God, When the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that I am Christ, then have I covenanted with their fathers, that they shall be restored in the flesh, upon the earth, unto the lands of their inheritance, the land of Jerusalem, this land, and whatever other land God might have promised to any of his sheep of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass God has promised, we know of this land and the land of Jerusalem as lands of their inheritance. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long dispersion from the isles of the sea and from the four parts of the earth, and the nations of the Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of me, saith God, in carrying them forth to the lands of their inheritance. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he hath spoken it, and who can dispute? I want to read, I was reading through a volume, the first volume of the Searchlight, the church newspaper. This was, the first volume is the years 1896 through 1900. So this is over 100 years old. And in this particular paper, I can't find a date, but I know it's, the paper was after, looks like it was, here it is. It says January 10th, 1898. And it was just a little clip. It was taken from the Kansas City Star. And it says Albany, New York, December 21st. It says and the title is To Aid Jewish Pilgrims. The American congregation, the Pride of Jerusalem, with the principal office in New York City, was incorporated yesterday to aid indigent American Jews and Jews of other nationalities who live in Jerusalem and Palestine by means of money collections in Jewish synagogues and homes in the United States for distribution by Rabbi Joshua L. Deacon in the United States Consul in Jerusalem. It is intended to encourage the so-called Zionic movement and to support pilgrimages from this country to Jerusalem and Palestine in connection with this movement. Kansas City Star says, the above clipping should serve to strengthen the faith of every Latter-day Saint in his belief and accepted of the restored gospel. The signs and confirming are indeed growing thicker and faster each year. And of course, we know that pilgrimages occurred, and they occurred because of Gentile nations who obeyed God and supported Israel and we know that Israel has become a nation, and it's so neat to see the Word of God fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled. Continuing in verse 16. Wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he hath spoken it, and who can dispute? But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. So he's speaking here so Jacob is speaking to the Nephites here. But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land which shall raise up unto the Gentiles, and I will fortify this land against all other nations. And he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God. For he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king, and I will be a light unto them forever that hear my words. Today in our Sunday school class, my wife's cousin Ronald was asking, why this country has been blessed so much? And the answers are right here, what we're reading. Wherefore, for this cause, that my covenant... Oh, I wanted to go... I don't know if most of you know this or not, but when our Constitution was formed, our forefathers were arguing over how it should be done. And in the end, they bowed their knee before God and asked Him to bless them with the wisdom to form the Constitution. And so they humbled themselves before God. And also, God fulfilled His word here in the Book of Mormon. That is why we've been blessed so much, because of His mercy. Wherefore, for this cause, in verse 22, that my covenants may be fulfilled, which I have made unto the children of men, that His promises be fulfilled, His covenants, which I made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh, I must needs destroy the secret works of darkness and of murders and of abominations. Wherefore, he that fighteth against Zion... I'd love to go there now, but in the third chapter of the book of Ether, it warns us Gentiles of the secret works and abominations that are being built up among us. And here he's saying he has to destroy those. So if we don't humble ourselves and keep them, and destroy them, he will destroy them, and those of us who don't repent. Wherefore, for this cause, that my covenants may be fulfilled, which I had made unto the children of men, that I will... Male and female shall perish. That's everybody. Whoever fights against God's people, against God, against His land of inheritance, they will perish. Against the people of His covenant, whoever fights against them shall perish. For they are they which are of the whore of all the earth. For they which are not of me are against me, saith our God. For I will fulfill my promises which I have made unto the children of men, and I will do unto them, while they are in the flesh. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict thy seed by the hand of the Gentiles. So this has gone back from what we did to the Native Americans here and what Spain did to the Mayans, what all the Gentiles did to the people, the God's covenant people, the house of Israel of this land. Nevertheless, okay, 27, wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict thy seed by the hand of the Gentiles. And listen to this. Nevertheless, I will soften the hearts of the Gentiles, that they shall be like unto a father to them. Wherefore the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. Wherefore I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, and they shall, and they which shall be numbered among thy seed forever, and they which shall be numbered among thy seed forever for the land of their inheritance. For it is a choice land, saith God unto me, above all other lands. Wherefore I will have all men that dwell thereon, that they shall worship me, saith God. And now, my beloved brethren, seeing that our merciful God hath given us so great knowledge concerning these things, let us remember him and lay aside our sin and not hang down our heads. For we are not cast off. Nevertheless, we have been driven out of the land of our inheritance, but we have been led to a better land. And for the Lord hath made the sea our path, and we are upon an isle of the sea. But great are the promises of the Lord unto they which are upon the isles of the sea. Wherefore, as it saith isles, there must needs be more than this, and they are inhabited also by our brethren. For behold, the Lord God hath led away from time to time the house of Israel according to his will and pleasure. And now behold, the Lord remembereth all they which have been broken off. Wherefore he remembereth us also. Therefore cheer up your hearts, and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of everlasting life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God, and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. Wherefore, may God raise you from the dead by the power of the resurrection, and also from everlasting death by the power of the atonement, that ye may be received into the eternal kingdom of God, that ye may praise him through grace divine. Amen. God has given us blessed Gentiles, us who are like the woman of Canaan, he's given us his grace, his love, that we've been forgiven of our sins. But he's also given us a work. And in the ninth chapter of the third book of Nephi, it's clear that we are to bring his word to the house of Israel. And you know, It's so amazing to me where we're getting calls from Africa, from the Philippines, from Indonesia, I think I've heard, I'm not sure, from various parts all over the world, and it makes me wonder. Jacob here is talking about the isles of the sea where his brethren are. But we need to be as the woman of Canaan, and humble ourselves before God. Ask him individually where he wants us, who he wants us to speak to. If we're putting him at naught in one way or another, how can we change? We need to be closer to God. We need to read his word. Pray to him and listen to him. And as Jacob says in verse 41, wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. So we have a choice every day to live according to his will or according to our will. And we need to remember that if we live according to our will, we're setting God at naught. His crucifixion was of nothing to us. And each decision we make is that important. Are we praising Him and what He's done for us, what He'll do in us? Or are we setting Him at naught? And hopefully, from this day forward, we'll praise Him. God bless each and every one of you. And let's continue to praise our Lord for the great work He's done and for the joy He's given us in being believers in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Darren. We will close with hymn number 127. Hasn't it been a great day in the house of the Lord? Yes, Jennifer? I didn't get what you said.
She wants to be a minister.
You want to be a minister too? Okay. Yes, let's take care of that before we have this closing song. So just set 127 aside. And Don and Alvin, would you take care of that administration to us? So I'll give the podium back to him.
Just want to read the account written by the hand of Mormon upon the plates taken from the plates of Nephi. Wherefore, it is an abridgment of the record of the people of Nephi and also of the Lamanites, written to the Lamanites, which are a remnant of the house of Israel, and also to Jew and Gentile, written by way of commandment, and also by the spirit of prophecy and revelation, written and sealed, and hid up unto the Lord, that they might not be destroyed, to come forth by the gift and power of God, unto the interpretation thereof, sealed up by the hand of Moroni, and hid up unto the Lord, to come forth in due time by the way of Gentile, the interpretation thereof by the gift of God, an abridgment taken from the book of Ether also, which is a record of the people of Jared, which were scattered at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people when they were building a tower to get to heaven, which is to shew unto the remnant of the house of Israel how great things the Lord hath done for their fathers, and that they may know the covenants of the Lord, that they are not cast off forever, and also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. And if there be fault, it be the mistake of men. Wherefore, condemn not the things of God, that ye may be found spotless at the judgment seat of Christ.
Thank you. That was a good addition to the subject. Hymn number 127. And we'll be dismissed after that by Elvin.
Thank you.
us pray. Our righteous Father, we thank you for this day, another day in thy house, another day with thy people, another day to praise thee. We thank you for hearing the prayers and the blessings you will give to those that were administered to this day, for those we've held up in prayer. We thank you for those truths that are recorded in your scriptures that have been preserved for us. And we praise you for thy interpretation, that we might know of thee. Go with us as we leave this place, as we go about preparation for the coming week, as we go to our work, to our play, that we might always be examples and hold you up as our guide. O Lord, accept of our praise and thanksgiving and forgive us our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.